I'd just like to tell you all that I'm really happy to have this opportunity. I talked to Angie earlier in the year and I said, you know, I would really like to do a talk on the love languages for the ladies' luncheon. She said, okay. Further, closer. Okay. How's that? I didn't say anything important yet anyway.
What if she moves out here? It's going to be a little more helpful.
Okay, how's that? I keep hearing like feedback. Anyway, okay, we're good. So, I looked up some of the scriptures on love, and I don't know if anybody's ever done a study on it, but there is an immense amount of information on love in the scriptures. And one of the scriptures that just popped out at me was in Colossians 3:12. And so I'm going to read that for you. And this is the Bible I have with me, so this is the translation you get, in case anybody cares. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with feelings of compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive him. Indeed, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Above all these, okay, so that would be above things like feelings of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, all those things that we just talked about. Above all of those things, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together perfectly. Okay, so love is what keeps us bound together. And if you look up those words, the bound word, it actually means like a ligament. Okay, so just think of how your hands and things, your joints are bound together. That is what love does for us, keeps us stuck together. Also, the other scriptures that we all know are, what does God say about, what is his two biggest commandments? Are to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, how much more important can you get than that? And he also tells us that his law is love. So, okay, I think we've established the importance of love. And the other thing is that I'd like to talk about is the importance of relationships. And if you've ever been in any of my breakout sessions, I hit on this every time because I think it's the most major thing that we as Christians or messianics or whatever you want to call yourself, believers. this is like our goal, is our relationships. Because I want you to think about this. What is the one thing that is going to carry over into your, when you become a spirit eternal being, what are you going to take with you? Relationships. It's your relationships with the other people that you have in your life. They're going to be there too, and you're going to have those relationships, okay? Which also, of course, is also our relationship with our Father and Yeshua. So this isn't just something minor and, oh, yeah, I have a problem with them, but, oh, well, too bad. No, it's what we need to make sure that we're building. It's also what keeps Satan from tearing down our families. When you have strong relationships in your families, he can't tear your family apart. Okay? And what is his goal? His goal is to tear us down and tear us apart. Okay? But what is the Father building? He's building a family. Okay, and so we want to be a part of that family, and we want our family to be strong, and we want it to be unbreakable. So, this is what I have to tell you, and about thinking about the people in your close family, because sometimes we're better, we treat other people that we don't see on a daily basis better than we treat our own little close family that we see every day. So I think it was Gary Smalley had this deal that he used to do, and he had this old beat up, looked like a piece of junk falling apart violin. And he said, okay, you know, picture this as your husband or wife or whatever. And then he said, you know, this violin is a Stradivarius. It really was a Stradivarius. And you're like, whoa, that beat up violin is probably still worth 30 or 50 grand or something like that. I don't know, maybe even more. Okay, so you have to picture the people in your life as maybe they're kind of beat up, but they're still a Stradivarius. They have the most value, okay? And maybe that little bit of picture will help you think about your kids when they're, you know, driving you crazy, or your husband when he doesn't take out the trash or whatever, you know. Yeah, okay, my Stradivarius isn't perfect, but it's still a Stradivarius, okay? Anyway. And how many of you have read the book or heard the thing about the love languages at Gary Chapman? Ooh, cool. Okay, so you guys have a pretty good idea already of what we're going to cover here. The thing that I found out is that it's a matter of communication and understanding. Okay, if you speak a different language from someone else, you cannot understand their meaning. If I say to you, Rosita tiene una vaca barata en mi establo, only people who speak Spanish know what I said. Maybe. Or, tu bist eine Hutschknucken. There's a lady who speaks German. I just said you're a dog bone. It's the only German I know. Well, anyway, but in other words, get the picture in your mind. When I said those things, did you have a clue of what I was talking about? You know, no, because it's a different language. And if you don't understand that language, you don't understand the meaning that the person is trying to convey to you. And that is the importance of what I wanted to get across to you today with the love languages. You need to be able to speak more than your own love language in order to recognize what the people in your life are saying to you. Okay. So Gary Chapman has identified 5 different love languages, and he says that within these love languages there are many dialects. So we're going to just explore a little bit about it. And this is in no particular order. These are not like in order of importance or anything like that. They're just the 5, and we're going to go through them. So the first one I have written down is words of affirmation.
And that's mine.
Maybe. Okay. So in Proverbs, 12:25, it says, anxiety in a person's heart weighs him down, but a kind word cheers him up. Okay? So for some people, words are what makes them feel loved and fills up their love tank. And we can use words to build people up. You can use compliments, words of gratitude. That's another dialect of words of affirmation, words of encouragement. You know, when your husband or one of your kids or a brother, sister, or whatever, a friend in your life is stepping out and trying a new thing, your words to them can help make them keep going. You know, they can get them through the fear of starting something new. You can help somebody do something that they've never done before by your words. So words are very powerful. In Proverbs 18:20, and you guys all know these, but just for fun, we're going to read them anyway. A person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. So in other words, in the King James, I think it says that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Okay? So remember that. And to people whose love language is words of affirmation, you can slash their heart to death just about if you use cruel words to them. So that's something that we need to be aware of. If there's someone in our family who is a person whose love language is words of affirmation, we need to be careful what we say to them. Okay, moving on. We have quality time. Okay, and quality time is giving focused attention. So in other words, you have a dad and he sits, takes his little kid and he says, let's play ball together. And while he's rolling the ball with the kid, he's talking on the phone. Sorry, don't qualify as quality time. Now if he puts the phone down and he's focusing on his child, that's quality time. And quality time, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters where your focus is at. It's because you're doing it together. Another thing for quality time people is focused conversation. Okay, that's very important to them. Because, you know, time is, when you spend your time, you never get it back. You can't bank your time. And so for quality time people, spending that focused time together is building memories of love. And they can take those memories of love out later on, and it's something good. It's like going back through your scrapbook, you know. Listening is very important in quality time, and listening in a focused way. So that means no TV, no phone, the kids are asleep, whatever you have to do to make it happen. Eye contact, you know, read the body language, talk about feelings. Can't say that too loud, a man might walk by and hear it.
They have feelings.
Yes, they do, and it is good to talk to them about them. Okay, so the next area is receiving gifts. And sometimes people think that receiving gifts as a love language is a selfish thing. But for people who are gifters, that's not how it is. Because receiving a gift from someone means that they took their time to find something you would like. They thought about you. So when they receive that gift, to them that's like, wow, you did something for me. This is amazing. People who are gifters will have your gift forever. They never throw them away or get rid of them. I have all kinds of good stuff. I actually, on the top of my desk at home, I have the whole top of my desk is all things that my friends have given me. And I look at it quite often and say, look, that's from Linda, that's from Angie, that's from Donna, and this, like that. And it makes me feel like they love me. That's very important to me. So for people who are not spenders, sometimes buying gifts as a way of expressing love to someone who is a gift receiving as their love language can feel not like what they want to do, but you need to think of it as you're investing in your relationship, okay? So don't be a tightwad. Although, really, for people whose their love language is gifting, the price of the item isn't what counts. It's the thought that went into the item. And free gifts are just as happy as something that costed a lot of money if you put a lot of effort into it or something you made for them. Okay, we have, for number four, we have acts of service. Yeshua displayed this by washing the disciples' feet. Okay, that was an act of service towards them that showed his love toward them. And doing acts of service doesn't mean that you're a doormat, okay? Because a doormat has to lay there and it has to be there. But an act of service is something that you do from your heart. And sometimes we have to change our stereotype. If our husband is someone who an act of service is what fills up his love tank, you know, you might have to learn to cut the grass or something like that. You know, you might have to cross that stereotype barrier there and do something for him that isn't women's work. Okay. And this is the other thing that I really want to emphasize to you. If your husband is a acts of service person and he does things for you, like, you know, he takes out the trash, don't think of it as, oh, he finally took out the trash. No, think of it as he is saying, I love you. So next time he takes out the trash, you can say, huh, he loves me. He took out the trash. What, you know, like that. The fifth area is physical touch. And physical touch is a powerful means of communication. And your touch can communicate hate or love. And physical touches can be something very small. You walk by and you pat somebody on the back. You give them a hug. It doesn't have to be, you know, full-on intimacy between husband and wife. But that also is part of physical touch and expressing love in that manner. You know, people whose physical touch is how their love language works, which for me, I have two that are equal, gifting and physical touch. And so, you know, sitting next to each other watching television and holding hands fills up the love tank. And how much time did that take you? Because none extra, because you're going to watch that stupid show on television anyway. So look, you can multitask. All right. This isn't about learning so that we can get. It's about learning so that we can give. It's about healing and strengthening our relationships. If you watch for the signs in your family, you can tell what kind of love language people speak. And also, I have prepared a booklet for everybody to take home with you that has a quiz in it. One for wives and one for husbands. And then I also have like a suggestion page of things that you can do if your husband is a quality timer or if he's physical touch or, okay, well, never mind about that one. But anyway, there's suggestions of things you can do, and then there's also a page on children and how, like, little questions you can ask yourself to learn to recognize what kind of love language your children speak. Because just because they're your children does not mean they speak the same love language as you do. It's likely, but there are families that have all five love languages in them. And you need to be able to recognize the difference in your children, because your quality time child, giving them a hug and telling them you love them and sending them to bed, doesn't do it for them. Okay? But your words of affirmation child, they're happy, and your physical touch kid, he's good. Right. Okay? So you need to, I have that in there, and it's just a little questions thing that you can kind of go through to help you recognize it. Also, I highly recommend the books by Gary Chapman. So, So if you recognize and learn these love languages, you can recognize when your family is saying, I love you, to you. Okay? A gifts child will make you pictures. a physical touch kid runs by and hugs your leg and scoops out the door. Okay, so you have to watch for the clues. And husbands the same way. You got to watch for the clues if you can't get him to take the test. Okay, so that is all very well and good, and it's lovely, and I was very excited when I read that book, and then I thought, you know, I'm going to go and see what else this guy has written, because I thought this was kind of cool, you know, love language thing. And so I was putzing around on the internet, and I found out he wrote a book called Love Languages of God. And I was like, So I got it and read it, and I was like, wow, this is really neat. So I'd like to talk to you now about how our Father expresses his love to us in our love language. And how we express our love to him mostly in our main love language. So in words of affirmation, well, that's pretty easy one, right? He wrote a lot of words to us, and in this book, he tells us, he does say a lot of affirming words to us. He calls us righteous. Okay, do you know what a righteous person is? That kind of seems weird to be like, okay, I'm righteous. A righteous person is someone who is following his way. So here we sit. That's what he says. That's what it says in here. He calls us his saints. Okay. He gives us words of encouragement. Many times when you feel like, this is it, I just can't make it anymore, you can go here. You can read in Jeremiah where he says, you know what? I've got a future planned for you. A future of peace. And, you know, not evil. Good things I have planned for you. You just got to get through this. He tells us not to be fearful. You know, when you're part of it being discouraged is having a spirit of fear. That's part of discouragement, is you're afraid. And he tells us many times in here not to be afraid. And he is there with us. If you think of an example of someone who's in the Bible who has words of affirmation was their love language, I think of King David. Look at all the Psalms he wrote. Okay, that is one of the ways that people who have words of affirmation as their love language, they're also big prayers. They're talking to God all the time. They sing, they like to sing praises. They probably could be a good writer. And that's the way they express their love towards God and receive love from him. So I thought that was kind of cool. Quality time with our Father. He spent a lot of quality time with Adam and Eve, didn't he, walking in the garden? He was right there with him. People who are quality timers usually love to study the Word. And that's not really me. And in the my former association that I came from, quality time and acts of service were high on the list of pat on the backs. Okay, well, I'm a gifting and a physical touch. Quality time doesn't really, I mean, yes, I do it, but it's like work for me to sit down and study. It's not something I just choose. Okay, so I always felt very like the odd man out. And that was another thing about reading this book. I was like, hey, I don't have to feel like I'm, you know, falling short here. Now I can feel like, well, maybe, Sarah, you need to learn another language and express love towards God by spending more quality time. That's something I can do. But, oh, you have to do this? That never works for me. Yeshua spent a lot of quality time with his disciples, didn't he? Spent 3.5 years with them, teaching them. Quality time people express their love towards God through study, meditation. They want to spend quiet, focused time, and it's what that's where it's at for them. Gifting, people who are do gifts. Think about the gifts, zillions of gifts that our Father has given to us. But the one that popped into my mind immediately was John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. That's my paraphrase. All good gifts come from him, don't they?
Yes.
So, you know, he gives us both physical gifts and spiritual gifts. And not only that, but he tells us to ask him for gifts. Okay? So it's okay. We don't have to feel like we're some kind of selfish person because that's our love language with God. He tells you to ask him for good things and he will give them to you. And the reciprocal of that is people whose love language is gifts are the people who are always helping people out financially or with food. Lots of times they take food to people, things like that. Okay, what does that note mean? Oh, I remember now. I wrote down dancing example. I'm like, what does that have to do with gifts? But now I know. Okay. You know, some people are very gifted in dancing. I am not one of those people. Okay. Yeah, you say that, but I am telling you the truth. I have to work at it. I love dancing, but I truly am not gifted at it. God did not give me the gift of being able to be perfectly on the beat and to be able to hear it. But you know what? Because I don't have that gift, I can teach beginning dance because I understand what it feels like to be going, what are they doing? Oops, I went left instead of right. Uh-oh. I went in instead of out. Okay? So in not getting a gift, I got a gift, didn't I? And I didn't know that till this year. So, acts of service. And God does many acts of service for us. He is preparing a place for us. He's building his kingdom for us. Yeshua was beaten and died for us. Those were acts of service. He performs miracles in our life, right? That's an act of service. He created the universe. Whoa! acts of service for people who are acts of service people, when they do something for other people, they are actually, that is like they're doing it for Yah or they're doing it for Yeshua. They see you, the person they're doing the thing for, as you are Yeshua to them. And they are doing this for you. And that is very biblical. And I did not write down the scriptures, but you know them about you went and fed the hungry and clothed the naked and took care of the prisoners. Those are acts of service people. Okay? And that's how they serve. That's how they show their love towards the Father. And he certainly speaks that language. Physical touch. Now you might be thinking, how are you going to get around this one? Because that's what I was thinking when I read the book. Anyway, but think about this. Jacob wrestled with, I believe he wrestled with God. And Moses was in, was kind of touched by God. He glowed. He was that close. Okay. And when Yeshua was here, he touched people to heal them. He had the little kids come and sit on his lap. Okay, so he used the language of touch. And actually, when he was washing the disciples' feet, he was using two love languages. He was using physical touch and acts of service. So people whose love language is physical touch, they love to do things. You'll see those people singing and going like this. Yeah. You'll see them up dancing, okay, with raised hands. Before I came to Season of Our Joy, I had never heard of Hebraic dancing. And my sister-in-law, Linda, and my brother, Mark, they came a year before I did. And Linda came back from Sukkot, and she was glowingly excited. And she is, "Sarah, they dance there." And I'm like, "They do what?" And I'm picturing these people going, okay, but I was not happy in the association I was at the time. I didn't feel like I was being fed or growing. So I thought, okay, I'm going next year, and if it's really weird, oh well, I'll live through it. It's only 1 year. And I went and I saw the dancing, and I could not watch the words on the screen to sing the songs because I kept watching the dancing. And then I think it was about the second day, maybe the third day, I think it was the second day, Tim and Angie were going around in the circle, and I was standing there going, trying to keep my eyes on the words, but I'm really watching the dancing. And Tim comes up on one side and grabs one hand, and Angie comes up and grabs the other. Now we're not recording. Oh, well. I'm in big trouble now. It says recording, so hopefully still going. Anyway, and so that's how I started dancing. They just dragged me out there. But after I was at Sukkot 2-3 days, I was like, man, I am home. This is me. I have found a piece of my spirituality that I didn't know was missing. Dance has changed my relationship with the Father in ways I can't even express to you. It's the most amazing thing. I have grown. And you think, what's dance? But for me, because physical touch is one of my main love languages, made all the difference. So, okay, enough about that. What I want to encourage you to do is take this tool and use it to bind your family together, to bind your friends, to watch and be aware of when your family is telling you that they love you through things that don't quite resonate with you. But you know what? Just like you can go and learn Spanish, or you can go and learn Chinese, and maybe it's really hard. You know, maybe you have to learn how to speak acts of service when you're a physical touch person. Yeah, kind of hard. Okay? But if you put in the effort, you will reap the blessings in untold ways. We need to be a five-language person. If you haven't read the books, I would highly recommend that you get them. And you can pick them up off of Amazon or something like that. But put in the effort, because you will get the blessing from it. And that's all I have to say today. And we're gonna hand out the books, and we were gonna try to do some discussion or question and answer. And I'm like, Rico, I don't know all the answers.
Can you tell us the name of the book?
It's called, the author is Gary Chapman.
C-A-J-P-M-A-N.
Chapman.
just exactly like that. C-H-A-P-M-A-N, Gary Chapman. He's got the five love languages of children. He's got one for teens. He's got just the ones for adults. And he has the one for God.
He also has one for men.
Just for men? I think he also has a book, What I Wish I Knew Before I Got Married. I haven't read that one. It's too late for me. Yes, Phyllis. What Phyllis is saying is that she was a preschool teacher and she had learned about the love languages, and that was the easiest way to reach the children was through using things that were associated with their love language. Did I say that right, Phyllis?
Yes.
Good. Anybody else? Has anybody else had any experiences? Leah, why don't you come up and say it in here so I don't have to repeat it. Like a parrot.
I have read the five love languages, and I gave that. I also have the five love languages for children. And I have four children, and each of them have a different love language. And it's kind of hard to identify some, but they'll give you clues. And my eldest is quality time. So if you just play a video game with him, or watch him play a video game, or do something with him that he wants to do, that's his quality time. Where my second is words of affirmation. So it's very hard, and my love language, quality time is my first one, and then words of affirmation is right there next to it. And my second, Andrew, is words of affirmation. So the slightest critical way in which you say something or a negative thing to him, just, you can see, it just breaks his heart. You look at his face and he's just, you know, and he has a hard time with that because he'll talk to him in such a harsh tone, and I can look at Andrew's face and see that his, you know, his heart is breaking. And sometimes I really have to watch that, you know, like when I yell.
No, you don't
after
do
being
that.
Frustrated with the schooling, homeschooling for, you know, a while, that I can just, you know, I've had to apologize to Andrew and tell him I'm sorry, and, you know, because I know that that really hurt him. And so I try to pay attention to that and give him words that are encouraging. And then I've got Gabriel, who is his own little man, and he's a little OCD. But his is acts of service, I think. I'm still kind of watching him. But I'm pretty sure that that's his, because it's you doing things the way he, you know, like if you misspell his name, you know, or I fix his breakfast for him every, you know, he has the same thing for breakfast every morning, and I fix him his cereal, and that's what he, you know, he feels, you know, loved by that. And then I have Angelina, who is physical touch, because she's constantly saying, hold me, you know, and sometimes they'll be so busy doing stuff that I don't have time to hold her. And so I'll say, well, can I give you a hug and a kiss? And I'll give her a hug and a kiss, or I'll say, well, just give me a second and I'll sit down for 5 minutes and hold you, you know, or I'll try, you know, you have, once you're aware of those, then you can make more of an effort to do what that person needs. And I think it's so important with the children to look at that and recognize that so that you're giving them that. And, you know, that's one more thing that my parents didn't know about, but I'm grateful that I know it now and can apply it in my life. And and then the weird thing is my husband and I, his is quality time too, so it's
that's
easy
nice.
For us to, not easy
well.
For us to find the quality time. That takes lots of effort and planning, but at least we know that, you know, we need to spend that with one another. So anyway,
Thanks, Leah. You have to talk very loud if you're going to stay back there. Come on up. We can't hear you. When people come up and dance. Oh. Thank you. How are we doing our time, Ange? Okay. Couple minutes, okay.
There's several aspects that I could say. I'm Dawn Cribbs. This is my first Dakota. But what I wanted to share was if you have a teenager whose physical touch, don't stop giving it to them just because they get older. Because those with physical touch have a hard time as teenagers getting that need met in a correct, nice, safe way.
Right. And thank you very much for pointing that out. You know, it is extremely important for fathers to be hugging their teenage daughters in an appropriate way, of course, but girls need that to be met so they're not looking for it someplace else. Okay, one more, or are we out of time? One more.
Hurry. My name's Ahava. And my husband and I went through the five love languages years ago. And there's two things I wanted to bring up. Number one, we've watched our children over the last 20 years, and love language changes. When my daughter was little, then we could just bring her a pencil and she was happy. You know what I'm saying? But they also change. They also morph over the years. So you can't just evaluate your kids one time and go, okay, this person's a gift, so rest of their life I can just give them a gift and they're gonna be happy. It doesn't work like that. You have to continue to evaluate, continue to bring it before the Father, continue to say, how can I bring your love to the children? And then the second thing I wanted to bring up, you spoke about physical touch with the Father, is that, I ran up here, I'm getting old. The second thing was, the Father has really been showing me worship and how our worship to Him is just as intimacy between a husband and a wife. That is intimacy with the Father. And as we worship, you get into worship and you forget about somebody else, then His presence can get so strong upon your life that you can physically, He can be tangible. He can touch your skin and He can touch your soul and He can touch your spirit. So if you would just forget about everybody else and just move into worship, if you're a physical person, then move in and touch the Spirit of God.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot. Okay, Ange, where are we going from here?
Thank you so much. You're our pretty happy dancer. She's our PhD, Dr. Ange. I don't know where we would be without Carrie's enthusiasm for the dance. We have really, really appreciated having you on our team. She's a terrific asset. Here are her booklets. You want to hold one up? And she will have these for you at the back door when you go out that door. Just don't slip out the side. and you'll be able to take one of these with you. She can put them back down there.
Okay, Sarah, thank you so much. I learned a lot from that. One thing I wanted to add is that I think as we grow older and become senior citizens, hopefully God puts more of those five love languages, all of them, into us. And I can see that through my mother as a senior. We grow in each one, and they're just so needful. As you grow older, you need every single one of those, even though you may have a particular strength in one area. We do. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Okay.
I really, really like to thank all of you, because if it weren't for this, I would not have studied this subject, and I would be much the less person for it. So really, thank you.
Okay, let's give her a good round of applause.